A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words appear against a dark background, a Netflix documentary. A Story Syndicate production. In association with Car Lot Productions. Nighttime, beams from spotlights shine over a sea of people bathed in purple light. Young women and men cheer, their arms raised in the air. On a stage, a blonde woman in a colorful tube top and matching pants climbs up a set of stairs. She pauses and looks over her right shoulder, smiling brightly behind a wired microphone protruding out from her hair. She gets to the top of the stairs and looks back on her left. Her smiling face fills a large oval-shaped screen on the back of the stage. Cut to black. In a video, young Brittany stands at the front of her room.
When I was 8, my mom realized I could sing. I've always wanted to sing. It's just something, you know, I've always wanted to do.
A montage of video clips.
It's not just luck. Everybody needs a little bit of luck, but it's literally an Olympian level of talent and hard work that goes into that.
Everything about her was strong and fearless. I mean, there was no stopping her.
It all exploded after Brittany became famous.
Suddenly, she was spiraling out of control, and it was clear she was having a crisis.
Are you concerned for your daughter, Mr. Spears?
What began as temporary control over her life and her money and her business became permanent.
They felt they had to do it to protect Brittany.
Brittany is no longer a free person.
She doesn't have basic human rights. She can't write a check or have a credit card.
If she doesn't behave, she loses custody of her kids.
There's other people that have tried to help. They've paid a heavy price.
She is limited on how she can voice her wishes.
I just want my life back. And it's been 13 years and it's enough.
Against a dark background, bold letters spell out Britney Spears. More letters appear between the name forming the title, Britney vs. Spears, then fades to black. On a computer screen, a video call window pops up. Words appear, fall 2019.
All right, so let's do our least favorite thing in the world by, which just means calling random strangers and saying, hey, can you talk to me about Britney Spears?
Names on the screen say Aaron and Jenny.
Hi, Kim. My name is Aaron Lee Carr, and I'm a documentary filmmaker. I'm directing a project about Britney.
2 years ago, I began making a movie about Britney Spears with journalist Jenny Eliscu.
Hey, this is Jenny Eliscu. I'm not sure if you remember me from years ago we met when I was working on a Rolling Stone article about Britney.
The movie was going to be about her artistry and the media portrayal. And can someone say wow to those dance moves?
On a video screen, a clapperboard signals the start of Britney dancing for a music video.
But the story was also about power and control.
A computer folder opens.
Full of conspiracy and rumors. And no one would talk.
Black lines obscure the text in a document.
Until they did.
The lines disappear, revealing legal documents.
I was 10 when Britney came on the scene.
Now a CD player opens.
I remember grabbing the CD with the flower on it, That's Baby One More Time, and putting it into my boombox. And, you know, my dad would come knock on the door and he said, why are you listening to this over and over again? I was obsessed.
In a photo, young Aaron holds a signed picture of Britney. In the video, Britney walks through a stadium crowd.
Britney! Britney! I love her!
At 16 years old, Britney was a sensation, and she was no one-hit wonder. From 1998 to 2003, her worldwide record sales totaled over $73 million.
Felicia Collada, Britney's former assistant.
Britney had a work ethic like none other, but she's never been motivated by money. She just was doing something she loved.
She was in control and involved in every process.
I'm open to ideas. I mean, if they come up with something better than me, then heck, I'll do it.
She was like, I'm the boss. I'm gonna do what I want. You can see, like, that girl is just on fire.
Tanya Barron, former backup dancer.
The best thing about being famous is knowing that financially I'll be able to support my family no matter what.
Britney Spears!
By 2004, she was one of the biggest selling female artists of her generation. Hit after hit, the world couldn't get enough of Britney.
Large crowds fill concert venues. In a video, Britney browses the magazine section in a store.
Then suddenly, Britney stopped making music.
Cameras flash.
She fell in love with a backup dancer, Kevin Federline.
She joins a man with shaggy brown hair.
On a transatlantic flight, Britney proposed to Kevin.
In a video, Kevin stands beside Britney, who wears a wedding gown.
They got married and quickly had two children. But 2 years later, the marriage was over, and Britney had filed for divorce.
It's the biggest news in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Britney Spears is leaving Jason!
On a talk show, Rosie O'Donnell throws her hands in the air.
Britney was out on the town looking as confident as ever. Now, hopefully, with her divorce almost finalized, she would get back to performing for us.
In a video, Britney is led past a crowd of paparazzi.
But what seemed like the beginning of her regaining control.
In another video, she sports dark hair.
Was really the end.
She's led to a car and the door closes. Cut to black. Words appear, 2007. Voice of Adnan Galib, paparazzo.
Very first time I was assigned Britney, she was in the middle of this divorce with Kevin, then I was working for an agency. Okay. You know, they gave me the address to sit outside the house. When she comes out, follow her.
Paparazzi surround Britney in a parking lot.
My job was to take pictures of her, right? That period, I was a photographer and, you know, I was good at it. I excelled. I learned the job real quick.
A photographer appears in a series of stills.
This is a job for adrenaline junkies and those with a gambling addiction. And there's nothing sexier than waking up and they say, this is your assignment. You open it up and you don't know who it is. Male, female, actor, singer, sports, celebrity. So as a photographer, you can get a few $100,000 from the picture of Britney.
In a video, Britney talks to photographers.
At the time of the divorce, Britney was relentlessly chased by the paparazzi. At the same time, she had friendships with some of them.
In a video, she lowers her car window and poses with a small dog.
One night, the agency calls me and tells me the gas station that Britney's at. I drive down there at the gas station. Everyone's taking pictures.
At a gas station.
$20 for the gas.
She was having problems with the gas. I asked Britney, can I help you? So I started doing it.
Photographs show Adnan at the gas pump beside Britney's car.
And then one day a photographer calls me and says, Britney's asking for you. What do you mean she's asking for me? And then another photographer calls me, who doesn't know the first photographer, and he's like, hey, bro, Britney's asking for you.
Where's you?
She felt better if I was present. She felt safe. Those are her words, not mine.
A series of photographs show Britney walking with Adnan holding hands.
It was a very simple, very easy relationship, you know? But between her fans and everybody else, it was like I was the bad guy.
In a video, paparazzi crowd Britney as she enters a restroom.
Kind of like that Disney story, you know, you always want the Prince Charming to be as equally as attractive and equally as beautiful and equally as charming. You didn't have that balance. There was this multi-millionaire and me. And then there was this famous girl and then there was me. There was this white girl and then there was me.
Britney and Adnan walk through a store.
There were nights where she was up and I had to stay up with her. And it's hard to stay up for 3 days. It's hard, but you have that fear, and it's a very real fear that if anything happens to her, they're just going to blame you. It's just so much easier to blame you.
He holds her hand as the paparazzi trail them.
She was taking Adderall. I'm sure X amount of millions of people are taking Adderall. But these are the things that become volatile and deadly weapons when you're going through a child custody case.
In a video taken through a car window, Adnan shields Britney.
Hi, Adnan. How are you? Are you okay? Are you guys in love?
The camera follows him as he gets out of the SUV, then returns with sodas. Cameras flash as he opens the door to get in.
Well, was apparent to me during this divorce with Kevin was, you know, she never had one person she could trust. Not one. Not mom, not dad, not friends, not assistant, anybody. And that's a very scary, dark place to be.
Words appear October 26, 2007, custody hearing, Spears versus Federline. Mark Vincent Kaplan, Kevin Federline's attorney.
The hearing this afternoon had to do with a continued interim or temporary order that was based on Mr. Federline's original request to modify custody.
Hey, get back, sir.
Brittany drives up to the courthouse.
By 2007, Brittany's divorce from Kevin was heating up. What many thought would be a simple case guided by a strong prenuptial agreement now seemed to be in question.
Ironclad prenups, a little bit like the Titanic could never sink.
John Nazarian.
For every ironclad prenup, there's a group of attorneys out there that will try to tear it apart.
Mark Vincent Kaplan. He's the KFED lawyer. He's like this kind of old guard, big time custody lawyer, you might call in a contentious divorce custody case. He seemed to love being the spokesperson for this high profile divorce and custody case, and he definitely has a flair for making a public statement.
The ultimate attack is, how are the children doing? How safe are the children? The kids become just pawns.
Kevin is concerned that the more time that the children are with him, he feels the more insulated they are from risks that would otherwise be possibly visited upon them. People that care about the children will provide information that is relevant to their best interest.
The silver-haired Mark Kaplan walks through a swarm of reporters in an interview.
I mean, I'd represented high-profile people and celebrities before, but this was on an order of magnitude far different than anything I'd experienced. And I had to hit the deck running and learn how to work with the media so that they weren't working against my client.
A video shows Kevin walking up a street.
Kevin had been treated pretty unfairly. They were saying he's an unconcerned parent. Other people were saying, oh, he's just merely a gold digger. He was in a position of not being able to win. Damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
People wanted to sort of speak ill of him or use him as a joke. Why do you think that was?
Well, keep in mind, when Kevin and Brittany first got married, you know, she was America's sweetheart. In many respects, she still is. And they saw Kevin as someone who, in their view, whoever there is, wasn't worthy of having that unique relationship with America's sweetheart. And they attempted to penalize him for that as much as they could. And the press was brutal. But as the case progressed, I think she did certain things that the press found worthy of a media frenzy.
At her laptop, Erin opens one of several folders labeled Brittany.
As the custody case was battled out in court, the media frenzy only grew.
She clicks on the file 2007.
Everyone seemed to have an opinion about Britney Spears. The media focused less on her music and more on the way that she was living her life.
Photos show Britney with Adnan and different celebrities.
Britney cycled through legal teams and became more and more isolated.
There was a period of estrangement between Britney and both of her parents by fall of 2007. I don't know how long the estrangements were, whether there was maybe sporadic communication, but some of the sources I spoke to talked about Britney having a fear that her family would barge in, I think is how it was put, and take everything. I mean, and that's, you know, that's how / when Sam Lutfi got in.
Jenny Alisku.
Who is Sam Lutfi?
Sam Lutfi is the person frequently blamed by both of her parents for her public downfall.
A bald man sits in an armchair.
There was a lot of controversy around Sam Lutfi and what role he played in this brief period of Britney's life.
Words appear, Sam Lutfi.
First question. Can you please introduce yourself to us?
Sam Lutfi.
Who are you?
He smiles.
I'm Britney Spears' former manager.
But in the court documents newly discovered from Britney's divorce, she testified that he was just her friend sometimes. somebody who helped get groceries.
A court document dated 2008 shows Brittany's comments on Sam.
In that time period, he went from being this sometimes friend to somebody calling the shots.
We met at a bar. We started talking. She was very funny. We had a great conversation. She had asked me if I had seen things that were recently in the press. I said, of course, like, who hasn't? You know, it was just making light of the situation. She asked for my phone number and then left, and I never thought I was going to hear from her again. And then I get a call from her one night, and she tells me, I need your help.
Hey, guys, be careful.
You can see that the divorce was impacting her a lot. And my question to her the whole time was, well, I think the best thing would be to have your family around. You know, it's nothing like having your mom around. That's how it is in my life. But so naturally, I was just projecting that onto that. And she would just say, my relationship is not like your relationship with your family. And I thought, well, what's the issue? And so we would talk about Lynn in depth. So there was numerous issues that were going on.
And how was her father, Jamie, involved?
Not at all.
Was it a short amount of time, a long amount of time?
From what I believe, it's been years.
In a video, Brittany rides an escalator in between Adnan and Sam.
In the eye of the storm that was 2007, Brittany was still able to record and produce an entire studio record.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Words appear, Give Me More, Blackout.
The album is Blackout, and it sold in the millions. It is widely considered her best work.
Brittany features in an animated video.
The music in the videos for Blackout portrayed a poppy version of what had become the story of Brittany's real life.
Break the Ice.
A woman hunted and often on the run.
She features in another music video, Piece of Me.
This would foreshadow a much darker turn for Brittany. There are paparazzi images of Brittany in 2007 that have been seen millions of times. These images are often coupled with headlines like Meltdown or Rock Bottom. Looking back, you can see she was just a person who needed help.
Fade to black. In a video, a car's headlights illuminate a dark winding road at night. The vehicle flanks a white coupe with tinted windows.
Throughout that year, paparazzi continued to follow Brittany aggressively around Los Angeles.
The coupe speeds up.
She's crazy. Oh my God.
Driving between lanes, it passes another vehicle.
She drove at high speeds to avoid them, sometimes running red lights. There were concerns that if these car chases continued, something terrible could happen.
A street light briefly outlines the driver.
You know, a lot of people argue that she was crazy, right? You know, and I fucking hate that word. Would you say she was upset? Would you say she was angry? Would you say she was hurt? I choose those before I choose crazy.
The white coupe zooms ahead of the following car and later stops in front of a gate as it slowly slides open. The bright taillights dim and the car disappears into the dark. Words appear, 2008. Nighttime. A helicopter shines a bright spotlight over a mansion decorated with Christmas lights. In a video, crowds of paparazzi photograph and film a convoy of fire trucks and police cars, their lights bright in the rainy night.
In January 2008, police were called to Brittany's residence. She had locked herself in a room, refusing to turn over the children to Kevin Federline's bodyguard at the court-appointed time.
A fire department van drives slowly forward. A throng of photographers hold on to the back doors, their cameras raised to the small glass panels with flashlights shining in. An aerial view shows the red van turn the corner of a street with paparazzi running behind it and on the sidewalk alongside it. It turns into the entrance to a building and the photographers mass together at the back doors trailing in after it. Police cars follow through a parallel entrance.
Listen up!
Peter's lying, this is their property, including the sidewalk that you are standing on.
An officer forms a tape barrier across the entrance.
At the hospital, there was Kevin, Mark Vincent Kaplan, his lawyer, and Brittany's father.
A photo shows Jamie Spears.
Brittany's parents have been divorced since 2002.
Family pictures cover a wall.
Brittany was so close with her mother. When we were on tour, I mean, she and Lynn talked at least, oh gosh, at the very least two or three times a day.
And what about her dad, Jamie?
Okay, I don't want to talk about her daddy.
Felicia frowns.
I don't want to talk about Jamie. The reason I don't, and I'll tell you this, and just so we'll know, Jamie wasn't with us very often, hardly ever. So it really was me and Lynn.
A few days after Brittany was released from the hospital, a new figure emerged. Her name was Louise Taylor, and she went on the Today Show as a spokesperson for the Spears family.
In a TV interview,
what I would like to say is that I really feel like people just do not know the Spears family. What they don't know about Jamie and Lynn Spears is that every day Jamie goes to work as a professional chef, asking the Lord to give him the strength to honor the people he works for in the midst of circumstances. That Lynn Spears is a mother that is brokenhearted just because she's apart from her daughter, that she loves her daughter so much, and again, asking every day for God to give her strength and for her to continue to have hope. I mean, I'm so disturbed, Meredith, where we've gotten to be as a people, the morbidity of us watching the depravity of people suffering than to rally around and be hopeful. So really, for me to be self-indulgent for a moment, that I would really hope that all those who seek God for strength in their life would be interceding for this family, because Jamie Spears, Lynn Spears, Brian, and Jamie Lynn Spears are all amazing people.
Erin sits at her laptop.
From what I'd seen, no one had ever spoken on behalf of the Spears. Who is Lou Taylor?
I will not touch that one.
Felicia shakes her head.
Sorry. She will chew me up and spit me out.
In a video, Brittany passes paparazzi to enter a building.
The custody suit grew more contentious when the judge gave Kevin Federline full custody of the two boys. Soon thereafter, Brittany would return to the hospital under another involuntary psychiatric hold.
In a video, Jamie Spears exits a white truck in a parking garage as camera lights flash over his face.
Jamie Spears petitioned the state of California probate court for a new legal arrangement.
A document lists Jamie as a petitioner.
It was called a conservatorship.
Cut to black. Words appear. On February 1st, 2008, the court placed Brittany under a temporary conservatorship. Jenny types at her laptop, the light from the screen reflected in her glasses.
I started working at Rolling Stone in 99. Brittany was my second ever cover story. I didn't give a shit about Britney Spears or pop music personally. You know, it's not something I paid attention to at all. Then I met her, and she was just so likable and sweet.
Brittany dances at a photo shoot.
So in late 2008, when I was assigned to do another cover story on Brittany for Rolling Stone, I was excited because I love her and hadn't seen her in a few years. And in spite of all of the drama, I was just picturing it the same way it always would be. And, you know, went to L.A. ready to spend some time and started to get told by the label that I would have to submit my questions ahead of time. I said to the publicist, but it's me and Brittany. And she would say, oh, we know, Brittany loves you. But the conservatorship we've got to. And I was like, what the fuck is a conservatorship?
An internet search appears for how does a conservatorship work?
A conservatorship is a legal process for taking somebody's ability to make their own decisions away from them and giving them to some third party, aka the conservator, or in a lot of other states, it's the guardian.
Tony Chicatel, conservatorship attorney.
Obviously, any process to deprive someone of those liberties and those freedoms would be something we'd want to impose very rarely, only as a last resort, having tried and exhausted all other alternatives. Some people have called conservatorship the tantamount to a civil death.
A document lists Jamie as conservator of the person.
There's conservatorship of the person, which is allowing someone else to make your decisions related to your personal affairs. They lose the ability to decide anything related to their health care. So their ability to provide or withhold informed consent for treatments, including drugs, is taken away from them. In many cases, they lose their right to decide who they're going to visit with or receive visits from. They lose their right to communicate with people of their choosing over the telephone, over the computer. For a conservatorship of the estate, which often goes hand in hand with conservatorship of the person, they're no longer in charge of any of their money. Theoretically, even the $10 they might have in their pocket.
Jamie was made the sole conservator of the person. He had to share the conservatorship of the estate with a court-appointed attorney named Andrew Wallet.
A circle is drawn around a printout picture of a man in a suit.
You had Jamie, who had bankruptcy issues and financial mismanagement of his own life, and they said, you know, we have Andrew Wallet here as the co-conservator and, you know, has a fiduciary interest, but in court documents, he talked about the conservatorship as being a hybrid business model.
An excerpt from a document reads, this conservatorship should be viewed more as a hybrid business model.
According to the papers filed with the court on February 6, 2008, the conservators have access to all documents and records related to Britney's estate. They can enter and take possession of her house, kick people out. They can issue restraining orders and employ security guards. They can use Britney's money to pay attorneys for legal matters involving the estate. They can open and operate businesses, hire people for just about any position necessary, and pay them using funds from the estate.
Why was Jamie made the conservator and not Lynn?
Jamie is intimidating, and people who've known him and met him and worked with him and even had positive experiences with him will still tell you that he is very intimidating, and when he's angry, you don't want to mess with him.
A printout picture shows Jamie in a blazer.
They were really in a moment where they felt they needed to keep away certain people, and he was like the bouncer. You know, he could keep people out.
A note says Larry Rudolph.
Here we've got
Larry Rudolph, Britney's longtime manager. He started in 1996 as her attorney and then grew into her manager. But in April of 2007, Britney fired him. Larry was the main person that Jamie Spears brought back to get things running, and he's been her manager ever since. And he often will say that he's not involved with the conservatorship or that he doesn't know what goes on in the conservatorship, that he only knows what goes on with Britney's work.
A note on a printout says Louisa M. Taylor.
Louise Taylor, a.k.a. Lou, led business decisions at times over the course of the conservatorship. Louise Taylor's husband, Rob Taylor, is the pastor of a church called Calvary Chapel.
Lou Taylor started appearing around 2008, before the conservatorship. And we know this because there's paparazzi footage of her with Britney's father, Jamie.
Jordan Miller, BreatheHeavy.com.
And then she somehow managed to become Britney's business manager.
She is a Christian, and so they trusted her a lot more, I think, because of that.
Laura Lee Craker.
Lou Taylor, through her attorney, Charles Harder, sent me a preemptive legal letter regarding any mention of Lou Taylor or her company, TriStar, in this film.
The letter was extensive.
Excerpts from the lawyer's letter include, in 2010, TriStar was asked to serve as the business management firm for the estate itself. TriStar, including Lou Taylor, had no role in the creation of the conservatorship. That said, TriStar has represented other Spears family members. TriStar representatives were party to certain conversations relating to the issue of a possible conservatorship. TriStar did not advocate for or against the creation of a conservatorship.
When I got this notice, I was alarmed. But receiving a letter from Lou Taylor or her attorney was not unusual for people involved in the story.
A photo shows Lou and Jamie's car.
While Lou's involvement with Britney was unclear, what was apparent was that Jamie and Lou were very close. Some sleuthing of Instagram showed Lou and her husband with Jamie on the day of his baptism at the Jordan River.
A social media post shows Jamie and Lou.
This is paperwork relating to Britney's condition at the start of the conservatorship, and it's a kind of a standard form where you indicate what the person's impairment is that requires a conservatorship. Specifically, this is interesting to us because it's orders related to dementia placement.
On a form, a circle appears around a checked box for orders related to dementia placement.
You don't usually see dementia mentioned with a young person.
Aaron and Jenny sit at a table covered in printouts marked with yellow sticky notes.
This is one of the most important filings in the entire conservatorship, because when someone is being made a conservatee, they're entitled to 5 days heads up so that if they want to contest it or find a lawyer, etc., they have the time to do that. The only reason given for depriving Brittany of 5 days notice is that Sam Lutfi is dangerous and needs to be kept away.
In a video, Sam points at paparazzi surrounding Brittany's car. A photograph from the incident shows him yelling.
It was total crisis mode with Sam. And that is something that I don't believe has really been portrayed correctly, is the level of crisis at the moment that the conservatorship began.
In a video.
Are you gonna f*** me out? Oh my God, you please get the hell out of the way. Now I'm scared you're gonna drive off without me. Like, get out, get out.
Brittany gets out of her car.
They felt they had to do it to protect Brittany from Sam.
You know, we're sort of alluding to what happened, that something dangerous was happening with Sam. What do you think was going to happen?
He was crushing drugs and putting them in her food and bragging about it.
And you 100% believe that.
On the video call, Laura Lee pauses.
Yeah.
In the video, Sam gets in the passenger seat.
That's why I got it in.
Brittany gets behind the wheel.
You have 100 blood tests and drug tests the entire time I was with her, and she passed every single one of them, which is why the police never came to my door. No one ever called the police. To be accused of allegations that serious, that you're drugging the world's biggest star, you call the police, you call the FBI, you don't call TMZ. I was the perfect scapegoat.
Why?
I was new. They didn't know who I was. I was just an expendable guy. It's like, all right, if that's what you need to get this done and waive a 5-day notice. And to explain, a 5-day notice means that she would have been notified that this was going to happen and she would have had the right to contest to it. She would have obviously contested to it immediately. And they knew that, and everyone knew that. And so they had to do everything possible to prevent that from happening.
In a video, Sam sits in Brittany's passenger seat.
Sam would later sue Lynn Spears, Brittany's mom, for defamation based on her account of his involvement.
In a photo, Sam smiles as he walks behind Brittany. Words appear. The following are text messages between Adnan Galib and Brittany Spears. The text messages were provided to the production by Adnan. On a screen, text bubbles appear. Brittany, I'm fucking sick of this. Adnan, I agree. I don't know how you deal. Brittany, I hate my life. Please talk to that lawyer. Adnan, I will call him right now and arrange a meeting. Brittany, please do it. Adnan, I can't believe you and your dad can't sit and talk this out. He needs to compromise some. Words appear. Voice of Howard Grossman, Brittany's former business manager.
Brittany went with one of her dad's appointed security guards out to get a hamburger. As I am told, they both entered the restaurant and Brittany sort of did an about face, jumped into the car that he had brought her in and took off. She called me and said that she needed help. I met her and a friend of hers at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Adnan Galib?
Correct.
A printout is labeled Adam Streisand.
We called Adam. He was a part of a firm that I had a relationship with.
An aerial view shows a car in traffic.
We were chased probably by, 50, 75 vehicles.
Paparazzi swarm around it. Wearing sunglasses, she speeds away with photographers hurrying to their vehicles.
We met in my office, which was crazy because we had helicopters swirling over the building. There must have been 100 paparazzi. I sent down my secretary, who brought one of the guys from the mailroom, who's like 6'6 and 250 pounds, to help Brittany get up from the garage to my office. My
secretary, Dolores Guimaraes, who's like 5'4", was like elbowing everybody out of the way and getting her through the crowd and got her up to the office, which was just an unbelievable sight. But you can imagine what it is like for anyone to have to go through that.
A video shows paparazzi following Britney to a lobby. Adnan blocks them as Britney gets in the elevator.
I can't tell you about what we talked about, right, because that's privileged. But I can tell you what I told the court.
Photographers follow Adam to the courthouse.
So we walk into court, and I said, Your Honor, she doesn't want her father to be the conservator. She wants an independent to be the conservator. She clearly understood the concept of a conservatorship. She understood what was going to happen. She could make some decisions about it. And let me just say, I'm not going to say that in every case, every conservatorship case, it's inappropriate to have a family member as the conservator, right? That would be going too far. But I will say that I generally prefer to see an independent professional as the conservator. And the reason is that family relationships are always complex. When I told the judge what Britney wanted, the judge looked at me and said, Mr. Streisand, I have a report that says that she does not have the capacity to retain counsel and have an attorney-client relationship. So I'm sorry, Mr. Streisand, but you're not going to be able to represent her, and I need to ask you to leave the courtroom. And I did.
Paparazzi surround Adam on a street.
Can you give us some kind of a heads up on what happened here today?
No, I'm sorry. I've already talked to her. I'm Brittany Compress.
There's no law that says that conservatees have the right to the attorney of their choice. It's a hole in the system, for sure, that allows courts to impose their own ideas of what is the best representation for the conservatee.
They have what's called this volunteer panel of lawyers, which basically means that the lawyers volunteer. It doesn't mean that they're working for free, far from it. But they volunteer to get appointed by the court to represent people like Britney, people who are conservatees or proposed conservatees. I can't tell you what happened in court after I left. I don't know whether Sam Ingham, who was appointed as her lawyer, argued the way that I argued, that the conservator shouldn't be Britney's father. I've got my suspicions. I sure hope Sam Ingham fought hard against it, but I never heard that he did.
In a video, Sam Ingham walks with Andrew Wallet.
We have very particular standards for conservatorship. You have to be unable to meet your needs for food, clothing, health, and shelter. So let me put it this way. I've represented dozens of conservatees in court. Not one of them has ever had a job.
Tony shrugs a shoulder. A photograph shows Jamie.
Somebody called me from Peter and they said, we're going to write a story in regards to her father wanting conservatorship off Britney. They basically, you know, explained it in one sentence. He will be Britney Spears. That's all they said. So what do you mean he will be Britney? Britney Spears is still here. Nope. She no longer has rights or say over anything he does. I'm like, well, why would that be the case? She's functioning. I watched her write the Blackout album on a Starbucks napkin on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City. I watched her sit there and put the moves together. And we're talking about, you know, what colors to use, you know, the scenery and the change of scenery and the backdrop and costumes. And she did all of that, and you were telling me that her father's gonna get a conservatorship. It didn't make sense to me.
I'm from In Touch magazine.
Let me give you a fucking clue. I don't talk to no fucking
people. Why don't you talk to us?
Because I'd never have talked to anybody, you dumb fuck.
A Hollywood.tv video shows Jamie sitting in his truck. Words appear against black. During the fall of 2020, a source reached out to the filmmakers. They said they wanted the truth to be out there. The producers have worked to independently corroborate the contents of the leaked reports. A messaging app screen shows the name Anonymous Source, and a message reads, I have thousands of confidential documents and emails from most parties involved in the conservatorship. If you're trying to fact check something challenging, let me know and I can share what I have. Another message says, I am happy to help and know you will bring the story, Brittany, and Conservatis Veritas Aquitas. A large compressed file is downloaded and a password is entered to open it. It contains hundreds of images dated February 2008.
The source said, this is a confidential report that only a select few have access. That means most doctors and other professionals have not been publicly connected to the case and would like to remain that way. The report was produced by a doctor that resigned from the case in 2013.
A letter to Sam Ingham is titled Medical Report for the Court.
Look at this sentence right here, read it out loud.
Britney Spears lacks the capacity to retain and direct counsel.
A redacted item in the document is exposed.
Britney Spears lacks the capacity to understand or manage her own financial affairs without being subject to undue influence.
What's wild is, at the same time this report was being written, Britney was already back to work. She was on the set of How I Met Your Mother.
Sir, please don't yell at me, because when people yell at me, I have a tendency to start crying.
The episode was out within 2 months of the conservatorship starting.
How I Met Your Mother, filmed March 2008.
And yet we have paperwork that says she had dementia.
How is someone who is that ill well enough to go to work?
A line in a document says, this is a follow-up progress report on the condition of Miss Britney Spears.
Caution should also be exercised so as not to accelerate her return to work faster than her emotional recovery allows, lest she have a relapse that would undo the progress she has made thus far.
The medical team said that Britney lacked capacity, but who was the original doctor that made that decision? In looking at the publicly available court documents, there was only one name listed in the initial evaluation, a Dr. J. Edward Spar. I needed to confirm that he was the doctor that had conducted the medical evaluation that kept the conservatorship in place.
We're ready for sleep.
And what the justification was.
Dr. James?
Spar.
Spar. Take one. Mark?
An elderly man sits in a chair.
Dr. Spar, tell me about your work.
I am a retired geriatric psychiatrist and still do, you know, the occasional consultation for attorneys. Including, you know, contested conservatorships sometimes.
Had you heard of Britney Spears' music before you met her?
You know, I'm not a fan. I don't listen to music of that ilk. But yeah, I know who she is.
He leans forward.
Wait, before I met her?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm not going to acknowledge that I've ever met her.
Do you specialize in dementia?
Well, I'm a geriatric psychiatrist, so that's one of the things that geriatric psychiatrists spend a lot of time and energy on, yeah.
Is that why you were brought in to evaluate Britney Spears?
He laughs.
I'm not going to verify that I was ever brought in to evaluate Britney Spears.
So here is a court document said, according to Dr. Spar's declaration.
He frowns at the document.
Okay, again, show me my signed declaration.
He sits back smiling.
If you show me a public document with my signature on it, I will verify my signature. Other than that, I'm not going to talk about whether anybody ever retained me to see anybody, not just Britney Spears. These are all confidential evaluations.
But you think, for the most part, that conservatorships are mostly help people?
The ones where I have been involved, the person who's filing for the conservatorship believes that they are acting in the interests of their proposed conservatee. They're trying to protect them from something. Usually, most of the cases I've been involved in, what they're trying to protect them from is a predatory individual after that person's money.
A video shot from a distance shows Adnan and Brittany walking hand in hand across a small bridge.
I get a phone call from her father, and he's like, I need you to come home right now. And I said, you know, we'll come home when we come home. And he said, no, you need to bring her home now. I am the conservator of her estate. You know, he was always so extreme, you know?
A nighttime video shows a car pull up to Britney's gated community.
Let me explain to you how fucking devastating it was for me to pull up at the gates and there's her father standing there for the security and two officers. And they're standing there. And
she freaks out. What are they doing here? Why are they here? Why is my father at my house? Who are these people? Why are the cops here? And she looks at me. I'm supposed to be the one that protects her. And I'm trying to calm her down. I cannot. I'm trying to explain to her, he is your conservator. Without his permission, because he is you, I've kidnapped you. And it's that real. She just looks. She doesn't talk anymore. She's completely silent.
Inside, two burly men get out of the black SUV and approach the car.
You know, they escort her into the house.
The car speeds away from a house.
That's when the realization was, okay, I don't think things are going to be the same anymore.
A video shows Adnan behind the wheel as he drives out of the gates and off into the night. Hazy sunlight covers L.A. Words appear, September 2008. Conservatorship, month 7.
As 2008 continued, Brittany had reportedly negotiated 50-50 custody of her kids. The amount of time she spent with them, however, was subject to the approval of her dad and conservator, Jamie.
A video shot from a distance shows Brittany with assistants carrying two young children.
Brittany seemed to be recovering from the events that led to her hospitalization. It was deemed by Brittany Inc. that it was time to work, and work she did.
A video shows Larry driving towards a building.
It started with recording a new album, and then the idea of a tell-all documentary was proposed. This MTV film would be called For the Record. This was a new time in Brittany's professional life, and it meant those that worked with her would be carefully selected by the conservatorship.
Andrew Gallery.
It was interesting going through a lot of this with other creatives and people who were sort of from the outside. And I remember at one point sort of talking amongst us and realizing that, like, there wasn't a single person that was involved with that project that didn't come out feeling affected emotionally. Like, not a single person.
If I wasn't under the restraints that I'm under right now, you know, with all the lawyers and doctors and people analyzing me every day and all that kind of stuff, like, if I wasn't there, I'd feel so liberated and feel like myself. It's bad.
In a documentary-style video, Brittany toys with a necklace as she looks away, her eyes reddening and filling with tears. In a documentary-style video of Jamie.
The best thing for her is what she's doing right now. Mm-hmm. Let's give her, she's in her element, she's in her world. And keeping her busy, you know, like me, I like to go fishing. Mm-hmm. She likes to sing and dance, you know, and she likes to work.
Are they gonna bring something here or something?
I have no idea what's going on.
Yes, you do, Brett.
Brittany sits in a car at a ranch.
Does everybody know what we're doing?
Yep.
Except me.
Except you.
Is that my car?
She looks out the window.
I was there that day, and I remember, like with almost everything, there were these two polar opposite feelings. Like, it was so nice for her to get to drive her car and, you know, with the top down and just feel free for a minute. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking, like what is going on with this girl that we have to arrange, you know, with 30 people, have to arrange this whole thing to let her drive her car to feel free for 30 minutes? How is that how she gets to feel free? I mean, the whole thing is fucked up. I'm sorry.
In a video, Brittany smiles down from a balcony with Andrew taking photographs.
Brittany and I had become close. I could shoot her in a way that, you know, like not all the other camera people could. And so then we just, you know, developed this sort of close-knit friendship.
A video shows him filming her.
There were a lot of times she would ask me for help, whether it was questions about legal issues or, you know, stuff about conservatorships. And, you know, I would usually try and deflect these things just because if I didn't have an answer, I didn't want to give her any wrong information. But I know that, you know, there were times that she did want to speak out and address things and wasn't really able to.
A People magazine cover features Kevin with his sons.
This People article came out. I think they had interviewed Kevin and, you know, obviously talked about Brittany. And there was stuff she didn't really, you know, she didn't agree with. And it's like she wanted to respond to it. And so, Yeah, she wrote this letter and she gave it to me and she was like, can you go on TV? Can you read this on TV?
Andrew reads the handwritten letter.
What happened to Brittany was a year ago and people need to get with the times. And as for Kevin saying Brittany divorced him, she was forced to by her lawyers because she went to visit him in New York and he wouldn't see her and the children. And her lawyer said if she doesn't divorce him, he's gonna do it himself. So Kevin trying to play the innocent victim is hardly irrelevant. He left her and the babies. Her going on the mend partying 2 years ago has nothing to do with the situation now. She's a completely different person, and most of their fighting was done back then because of his problem waking and baking to marijuana at 5 o'clock in the morning. No one talks about these things because no one knows the truth. She was lied to and set up. Her children are taken away, and she did spin out of control, which any mother would in those circumstances. Now this year, Brittany's been silenced to speak out about anything that's really going on. The people controlling her life have made $3 million this year. She would love for new eyes to see her situation, but if she brings it up, she's constantly threatened that the conservators will take her kids away. So how long does this go on for? As long as the people are getting paid and she has no rights, it could go on for a while. But it doesn't make it right at all.
As the letter progresses, words are scratched out.
Brittany's given her brother a $2 million apartment, her mother an estate in Louisiana, and her father the best job in show business. She's a very giving person and would love to get the respect she deserves.
The copy of the letter sits on the table beside Andrew.
It was an emotional response to the article coming out, and it was like her first response. And for me not to read it on TV right away, it was also saying, why don't you just take a couple days and, you know, cool down from this. And then a couple days later, maybe we can revisit it. You know, things like this would happen often. Not necessarily like this letter, but like trying to use my phone to call people. It's like those are the things you kind of like had to look out for and just steer her away from. And then a couple days later, I got a phone call from the lawyers. The letter had some, you know, some information that would be really bad if it came out or something like that. And so all of a sudden the letter turned into a much bigger thing. And then, you know, I just brought it in and showed it to them and that was that.
But you had enough foresight to copy the letter.
I mean, I wouldn't call it foresight. I think that when she gave it to me, we took a picture of it because I feel like I didn't want to actually carry the letter.
And what was that experience like for you?
I mean, again, like, I always just felt bad for her.
A video shows a car pull out of the garage.
I felt bad that, like, this was her reality in her world. Where, like, she gave me a letter, and then all of a sudden, this huge fire alarm goes off.
Andrew drives with Brittany beside him.
It's, like, crazy. Like, all she wanted to do was, you know, respond to an article.
How much longer did you work with Brittany after that?
It was pretty shortly after that that I stopped working with her. I think at that point, it was obvious that we were pretty close and pretty good friends. I mean, this was coming after, you know, I was her date for her brother's wedding. And, you know, we had developed, you know, I think just like a good trust. And maybe we were too close at that point. And so, yeah, shortly after that, I got removed.
A photograph shows Brittany with Andrew carrying a takeout bag.
I don't think I've spoken to her since.
In the interview, he stares off into the distance for a moment.
And, you know, like, Brittany had met a bunch of my friends. You know, she had, you know, like, sort of come into my life. And, you know, it was just sad to think that she was going to be alone again.
A photograph shows Brittany's profile through a car window, sunglasses covering her eyes. Words appear, 2009. The following audio is a voicemail from Britney Spears to a lawyer on January 21st, 2009 at 12:29 a.m.
Hi, my name is Britney Spears. I called you earlier. I'm calling again because I just wanted to make sure I'm doing the process of getting the conservatorship that my father set me several times that, you know, he'll take my children away. I just want to be guaranteed that there was more time with the process of you guys taking care of everything and things are being the same as far as my custodial time.
In January of 2009, I went to L.A. for the winter, and I had made contact with Sam Lutfi. He'd been a good on-background source for the Rolling Stone cover story, and we'd kept in touch even after it came out. Then he told me about the fact that he and Adnan had been trying to come up with a plan to help her find a different lawyer. She's still, in January of 2009, still wanted a different lawyer if she could get one. This was a full year of the conservatorship supposedly having saved her life. They had been talking to different lawyers who thought that if they could get her to sign this document saying why she wanted a new lawyer and why she wanted the specific lawyer, that that would be something that would just have to happen then, and there would be no way to refute it. At that time, Sam and Adnan were persona non grata. I mean, they had been completely forbidden from having access to Brittany. And within days of me arriving in LA, Sam started talking about trying to get her to sign this thing and trying to find someone who might get her to sign this thing. I can't say there was a specific moment that convinced me to do it. Of course, I was concerned about being a participant in the story I was trying to cover objectively. But at that point, I had known Britney Spears for a decade, almost. And so I cared about her in a human way that there was no denying it at that point, that I could be more useful as a good Samaritan, almost, than another journalist trying to cover this story.
Britney, anything to say about the conservatorship today?
Sam explained to me that I would need to go to the montage and she would be waiting for me and she would know to come meet me in the bathroom.
The sun shines over a large hotel.
So I just walked in thinking, pretend I'm a guest. I took the elevator up and I walked out and I saw Edon, her security guard, up there and maybe one other like security looking dude. But she was just in the pool by herself and she was just leaning on the edge of the pool. And I kind of gave her a little side eye and saw her see me and went into this small bathroom. And I went into the stall and I closed the door and I got the papers ready and got the pen ready and saw her tattoo on her foot or ankle or whatever it is and opened the door and I showed her the spots where she needed to sign and she signed and she just sort of looked at me and said thank you and I said...
Jenny covers her face with her hand for a moment, then wipes her eyes.
I said, I'll see you again. Go. Yeah, she definitely seemed scared. It was hard to tell because I was so scared, but she was appreciative, you know, which was like such classic kind of her vibe to be in that moment, to be scared, but to also be grateful, you know?
A legal document lists Britney as the petitioner. Excerpts include Britney Jean Spears has expressed her lack of confidence in her court-appointed attorney, Samuel Ingham III. Ms. Spears is of the opinion that he is not advocating adequately on her behalf, particularly in light of the severe restrictions placed upon her. Certainly, this woman who can complete two new CDs and be set to go on a national tour has sufficient capacity after nearly 1 year of a protective conservatorship to retain counsel of her choice and in whom she has confidence. Britney's signature ends the document dated 2009.
I thought the documents were going to be delivered right away. I was told there would be an ex parte hearing immediately to address this, but then days passed and Britney was supposed to go on a trip somewhere with her dad, and we thought that when he sees that she signed it, he'll know that things are going to change. I couldn't believe it when I found out about a week later that it was all over, and that similar to what had happened with Adam Streisand, that it had been ruled that she lacked the capacity to choose a lawyer, and that they had cast enough doubt onto whether that was her signature.
The signature disappears.
I never heard anything of it again. No one ever talked about it again. And still no one really talks about the fact that there was another attempt to get a lawyer that somehow didn't work out.
A note says, Sam Ingham email.
But someone else knew about the incident at the montage. 7 days after Britney signed the paper saying that she wanted new representation, The court-appointed lawyer for the conservatorship, Sam Ingham, stated that Britney called him and told him that she'd met with a reporter from Rolling Stone to sign documents about acquiring new counsel.
A line in a document contains Jenny's name.
He went on to say Britney does not wish to do that and asked him to do whatever is necessary to, quote, squash the document. She further stated that she was, quote, fully satisfied with my representation of her.
In another letter,
that same day, the attorney she had tried to hire, John Anderson, withdrew, stating, I can say no more, will do no more, and that is the end for me. It was another time that Britney had tried to seek her own representation, and it failed.
A printout photo shows Sam Ingham.
It's the conservatee's attorney is the one person in the system who is tasked with making the conservatee's best case for whatever the conservatee wants. But I've seen so many instances where those attorneys are not representing what their clients want.
Keep in mind that the only way that Sam Ingham gets paid is he has to file a petition with the court, and then the conservator has the right to object to him getting paid or the fees that he's asking for. Obviously, there is a natural tendency to say, well, I certainly don't want to be pissing off the people who are going to have the ability to object to me getting paid.
A photo shows Jamie.
What is your reaction to knowing that a court-appointed attorney is making over $3 million, like, as in this position?
My reaction is that he's on a gravy train, and he's going to ride it all the way to the end.
Videos show Sam and Andrew Wallett and Jamie Spears.
Are you concerned for Britney's mental health?
By early 2009, Jamie Spears asked that the temporary conservatorship of his daughter be made permanent. And there was a range of new specific powers and privileges that would be given to the conservatorship.
Jamie gets into a car.
Spanning from using funds from the estate to pay for a car for Jamie, to giving him more complete control over Britney's personal finances.
A document says the power to cancel all credit cards.
Perhaps most importantly, though, the permanent conservatorship would allow Jamie to pursue professional opportunities available to Britney once they're approved by her medical team.
In a video, Britney practices a fast-paced dance routine with other dancers at a studio. Words appear, dance rehearsal for circus tour.
Britney was preparing for a huge tour. Whatever concerns the conservatorship's medical team once had about her health and overworking seemed to be forgotten.
Smiling and panting, she cheers with the dancers.
First off, ticket sales are going phenomenally well. Sales have generated about 40 million?
Jenny reads a document.
Second, there seems to be an opportunity to add two shows at the end of the U.S. leg on very attractive financial terms. So this is before the circus tour. They don't even know yet if she's going to be, like, okay to tour, right. But they're adding more dates.
Right. There went from temporary conservatorship to permanent conservatorship, and circus was that year. So us noting that there was financial incentives for Larry, for Jamie, for the lawyers to get her working, A, but get her working more.
A huge crowd fills a concert venue.
The circus tour was performed over the course of 9 months and totaled 70 shows spanning the world.
I've had people tell me that there were conversations explicitly about how quickly she could come back. I think they probably felt like it was important to show her looking healthy and okay as quickly as possible to prove that what they decided to do was the right decision.
Britney!
In a video, Britney gets off a jet.
I mean, there's nothing relaxing about being on a tour. Flying all over the world, being in different countries every few days.
Hey, Britney, you see your daddy?
You can only imagine how stressful and challenging that might be for her.
A concert clip shows Britney performing with aerial acrobats.
Was she in the right mental state to really put all that time and energy into doing a whole, like, revamping her entire career and doing this comeback?
Stills show her in different costume on stages.
It's like, that's hard.
We've had on-background conversations with people who were on the circus tour.
They said it was a mess. They said it was bad for Britney's health.
The conservatorship stated that they had successfully added financial growth and stability to Britney's life.
In a video, an aerial acrobat lowers Britney to the stage.
Her main focus, almost to the point of obsession, was getting more time with her children. Her second preoccupation was whether the conservatorship would end and whether her father, Jamie Spears, would be more lenient with her privileges. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just like, she gets an allowance, she's got privileges, and her daddy is in charge.
That's the patriarchy.
At a beach, Britney sits behind a man on an ATV.
In 2009, Britney had a new boyfriend. It was her agent, Jason Trawick.
A photograph shows Jason's head on her lap.
You need to go over there. If you don't go over there, we're going to leave. Y'all ain't going to get no pictures.
Jamie waves his hands at a camera. Britney and Jason walk into the surf.
By the fall of 2011, he was featured in Britney's music video, Criminal.
In a music video, Jason beats up a man.
Jason, newly buff, played her outlaw boyfriend.
You okay?
Yeah. Wait.
In a slinky dress, Britney kicks the fallen man.
Now I'm okay.
Jason was like a very smart, very sweet, very caring. Like he was one of the guys that I would confide in and we would talk about all the stuff that was happening. And we both had like an objective point of view because, you know, at the time, neither of us were dating her or engaged to her or anything like that.
In the music video, the pair kiss as bullets fly around them.
To see the role that he transitioned into, I mean, again, it's like I never would have seen that coming.
At an awards show, Britney smiles as she poses beside Jason. At their desk, Jenny studies a report dated 2012.
So this is from a doctor with the conservatorship to Sam Ingham. I had an extensive interview and assessment session with Jason. I found him to be forthcoming and open, though fearful that whatever he said might be held against him or place him at odds with others with whom he might need to get along in the future. He appears to be genuinely in love with Britney. His philosophy is that eventually Britney will have to learn to live without a conservator. He feels that the present arrangement is too constrictive.
Jason cites numerous inconveniences Britney has to go through under the conservatorship. For example, they wanted to drive within the gated community on a golf cart, but have to ask permission each time. If they want to go out to a local hamburger joint, they have to call for permission and wait 20 minutes or more for an answer. If Britney needs a few $100s to buy books for her kids, she has to ask and then wait a few days for an answer. This was right after Britney finished the huge, giant tour. That was Femme Fatale.
What the fuck?
Look at the next page.
Toward the end of the Femme Fatale tour, significant tensions arose between Jamie Spears, Britney's father and conservator, and Britney.
Right, and then look at this. Britney began to complain about Jamie's drinking. She is especially adamant that Jamie be punished. This seems to be a lightning rod for all of her complaints about the conservatorship itself. In a simple way, she feels that if she is drug tested, so should he be. And if she were to suffer a great penalty, like losing her kids, if she tested positive, he should suffer an equally great penalty for his drinking. And this is like, again, this is the most sort of, some of the most damning stuff. Britney wants to come off the conservatorship.
Aaron reads from the document.
At times, she seems to understand the benefits of the conservatorship. At other times, she indicates she would go along with the conservatorship of the estate, but mostly she wants to end the conservatorship of the person. The conservatorship has maintained Britney has never once asked for it to be terminated, and that if it was really that bad, she would tell people about it. But we have here in evidence that she wanted out of the conservatorship, that she was vocalizing that need, and that it was ignored.
In a video, colorful lights flash over a small crowd. December 2011, conservatorship year 3.
In December 2011, Britney and Jason became engaged. 4 months later, she would request that Jason be added as her conservator.
Britney and Jason hold a cake.
But instead of Jason replacing Jamie, the court ruled in what could be considered a compromise.
They kiss.
Jason Trawick and Jamie are made co-conservators versus Jamie being removed.
Which just feels so weird. At the time, I thought that it was interesting that Jamie would give over even that small amount of control to someone theoretically new or a non-family member.
At Hollywood's Chinese Theater.
With her father and fiancé as co-conservators of her person, Brittany inked a reported $15 million deal to judge X Factor. Behind the scenes, confidential reports given to us showed that the conservatorship was in chaos. The conservatorship medical team thought that X Factor put undue pressure on Brittany, whereas her management said that withdrawing would be just as bad as a publicly observed meltdown. Under intense pressure from Brittany's management, the medical team cautiously approved Brittany's participation, but said that there would be strict guidelines for their approval to stay in place, which included that Jason Trawick's presence was, quote, mandatory.
Brittany walks with Simon Cowell.
And then the big bombshell is that we have direct evidence that her medication, the medication that she liked to take, was increased if she worked.
There's different dosages on, quote unquote, non-work days and work days.
Look at the next page.
On the one hand, Jamie and others on the team valued the benefits of stimulants for Britney's performance. This had been the case for both of her tours and for her participation on X Factor. By the same token, Jamie wanted Britney not to take stimulants. This contradiction has not been resolved.
A crowd cheers as Britney strides into the theater, smiling and waving, then joins the judges' table.
From the public's perspective, Britney's performance on The X Factor was a success.
Jason sits in the crowd.
Less than a year later, though, Britney and Jason would break up, making Jamie the sole conservator of the person once again.
On the subject of X Factor itself, there is estimated to be a 50-50 chance they will invite her to return, but at this time it appears that she would decline. Instead, her current plan is to create a Las Vegas-style review to perform at a Las Vegas hotel over 3 or 4 day weekend dates once or twice a month.
And then what does it say right after that?
I believe this is an appropriate career move from the perspective of her psychiatric condition.
On a stage.
Okay. So, being single for a year has been very, very, very profound. And I feel like all men should suck my toe.
Britney's Vegas residency started in 2013, and it was called Piece of Me. The show would span 5 years and culminate in a world tour. Very little is known about Britney's life during this time period. The conservatorship kept her inner circle very small. Candid Britney interviews were rare. Unguarded public moments only seemed to happen when she was talking to her audience.
Honestly, without the music and just the mic, it kind of feels illegal. Like, it's quiet right now, and it feels kind of illegal doing this with this mic in my hand right now. It feels so weird. Okay, so, the press and the media my whole life, you know, it's really crazy, because 1 minute, they tear you down, and it's really horrible, and the next minute, you're on top of the world, you know? But I just want to make sure I keep having you motherfuckers something to talk about, okay?
The spotlights follow her over the stage. In a video call with Tanya Barron.
What was it like going to the Vegas show?
When she found out that I was there, she wanted to see me backstage. And it was like we both just immediately just embraced and just cried. Just sat there and cried and locked arms. We hadn't seen each other in years. We hadn't spoken in years. And when I saw her, it's like something in her eyes. It was like the old Britney. I guess you can say it was as if we were right back to where we were many, many years before. And I think that's why we both broke down and cried. And her bodyguard walked me back to my seat. And he said to me, I remember this. He said, he goes, I don't know what you just did to her. And I don't know what your relationship was like, but couldn't you come back more? Because in the 9 years that I've worked for her, I've never seen her smile like that.
In a photo, Tanya and Britney hug.
There aren't a lot of people in her life that are from those days. It's myself, Felicia, and a couple other people.
A photo shows Britney and Tanya posing with Felicia.
I got called back to do circus tour, Femme Fatale, and then the 4 years in Vegas. I had much less contact with her, but I made sure every show she knew I was there.
And then did she continue to love performing?
I mean, it's such an intense schedule. What was her relationship like with performing?
Felicia pauses, lips pursed.
Brittany loved performing. Hands down, still to the second, loves performing. I think that's probably as much as I can say about that. Sorry. I don't want to fight with him. It's not worth it to me. I'm sorry.
A series of stills show Brittany in her concert costumes.
The one thing we know for sure is that Brittany worked almost nonstop and made other people a lot of money.
Over the images, words appear. Piece of Me Vegas, 2013 to 2017, 248 shows, 916,184 tickets sold, $137.7 million in box office sales. Piece of Me Tour, 2018, 9 countries, 260,531 tickets sold, $54.3 million in box office sales. Brittany earnings, 2017 to 2018. In 2017, she earned $34 million. In 2018, her net worth was estimated at $59 million. Jamie Spears earnings, 2013 to 2018. Jamie earned $2.1 million from tour revenues, plus a $16,000 per month salary. He paid Brittany an $8,000 monthly allowance.
In January 2019, Brittany announced a new Vegas residency. It would be called Domination.
Fireworks go off behind an outdoor stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brittany Spears!
When she walked down the red carpet, it felt like she was almost about to say something, but then she didn't.
As Brittany approaches a fan, her bodyguards usher her away.
3 months later, via Instagram, Brittany would cancel the show, citing family health concerns. And the world was watching.
That was a huge moment when the fan community began to suspect that something weird was going on in 2019.
There was even like missing posters being, you know, shared around social media, kind of as a joke, but also kind of like, we literally haven't seen her in like weeks, if not months. And cut to April 2019, we find out that Brittany was placed into a mental health facility against her will. That is what is believed. And she was being given medication that she did not want to take.
I know that there are a lot of voices I've heard from many different quarters that Brittany is being held as a prisoner in effect against her will. And when I've been asked, do I think that's accurate? I think you have to say to yourself, it's not as if Los Angeles is some type of fascist gulag, where in order to get a message to the outside world, you have to write it down on a piece of birch bark and in code and then throw it over an electrified fence to an unsuspecting gardener. If she wanted to get a message out as far as being held against her will, I can't even imagine the numbers of ways she can do that.
Eventually, Brittany resurfaced via an Instagram video.
In a video.
Hi guys, just checking in with all of you who are concerned about me. All is well. My family has been going through a lot of stress and anxiety lately, so I just needed time to deal. But don't worry, I'll be back very soon.
The video only increased public speculation. What was going on inside the conservatorship? And why was she still in one if she was, quote, okay?
A series of social media videos show Brittany smiling into the camera as she walks around a garden.
We know that in summer of 2019, after there was already beginning to be some chaos in the conservatorship for the first time in more than a decade, that there was an incident where a confrontation occurred between Jamie and one of Brittany's sons and Kevin Federline, you know, his father and Brittany's ex, had a restraining order filed against Jamie such that he's not allowed to be in the presence of the children for a specified period of years.
What's been in public record is there was an altercation, a door was broken down, one of her sons was shaken.
The restraining order was based on an unauthorized, let's just say it had to do with conduct that put the children in fear of their safety.
How did a door get broken?
I think a door was slammed in some regard, and it caused the door to come off the hinge or something in that regard.
A photograph shows Jamie on a street in his blazer and tie, lips pursed. Another shows Lou Taylor holding a microphone.
At the end of 2019, Lou Taylor resurfaced in court documents. She had emailed Jamie saying her company, TriStar, had lost $400,000 in billing in 2019 for work as Britney's business manager. She requested a minimum of $500,000. Yet, it was a time when Britney wasn't working. When Jamie was sent a bill the month later, he paid the funds the next day.
A court document states TriStar received that amount from Britney.
This is what Jamie Spears in July 2020 said of Britney Spears, of the conservatorship and the need for it. What do we do here?
Aaron passes Jenny a document.
James P. Spears respectfully submits this status update to provide information in advance of and regarding some of the topics that were addressed at the last hearing.
The conservatee, Britney, has refused to engage in any business activities, including making a single non-performing appearance at a local pop-up store dedicated to the conservatee, where minimal effort was required, resulting in the estate being required to refund the advance it had received in the amount of $1 million.
The conservatee's lack of cooperation in her own financial well-being and preservation of her continued stature as an iconic artist has deteriorated rather than improved. As a result of the conservatee's trajectory, Mr. Spears has been working to establish a model where Ms. Spears' current lifestyle can be substantially preserved and her needs met based solely on passive income. Given the general state of the economy and this enormous cost of maintaining her lifestyle, this is a tall order.
Her lifestyle, which includes all these legal bills.
Printout photos show two female lawyers of Jamie's labeled Gerald Cohen and Geraldine Weil.
All of these interviews and all of these hours of talking to her and describing her and criticizing her and limiting her, and none of this led to anything. It just all stayed the same. And they could go into court a million times and keep doing hearing after hearing and filing after filing and analysis after analysis and never change anything, and she's still in this situation. Like, how do you get out?
You don't get out until you scream.
An internet article states Britney Spears will soon make an appearance before a Los Angeles court to address the conservatorship that controls her career and finances. Andrew stands in a hotel room, June 23rd, 2021, the day of the hearing, in a car.
If you were able to speak to her today, what would you tell her? What would you say?
I feel like maybe I'd apologize. I feel like I didn't, you know, do enough, and maybe I would just let her know that I felt bad about not being able to help more.
He drives past a police car.
I don't understand how the legal system has let this go on for so long. I mean, maybe it's like the first one of its kind and they don't really know how to handle it. But it seems like it's an epic fail of the legal system that this has gone on for so long and that there's been like no resolution even. It just seems like it keeps getting worse.
A crowd with pink banners fills the sidewalk outside the courthouse.
It feels like something's going to happen today. It feels like there's definitely something's going to happen.
He drives past.
What do we want?
Free Britney!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Free Britney!
When do we want it?
Now!
So you're in?
In an office.
I mean, it's not playing anything. It's 4:30.
Aaron refreshes a non-functional webpage.
This is us trying to get into the court hearing.
Reporters film the crowd.
Today will be the first time she will speak, and at stake is control of the 39-year-old singer's career and $60 million fortune.
Andrew walks through the mass of people. In the office, Erin lets out a breath as she stares at her screen. A California Bear flag flutters in the air, while on the street, a pink flag is waved on a pole. A policeman leads Andrew into the courthouse.
Going through introductions / formalities, Britney says, quote,
Jenny smiles at her screen. Britney's words appear.
I have a lot to say, so bear with me. I don't think I was heard on any level when I came to court the last time. I brought 4 sheets of paper in my hands and wrote in length what I had been through the last 4 months before I came there. The people who did that to me should not be able to walk away so easily. I'll recap. I was on tour. My management said if I don't do this tour, I will have to find an attorney, and by contract, my own management could sue me if I didn't follow through with the tour. It was very threatening and scary, and with the conservatorship, I couldn't even get my own attorney. So out of fear, I went ahead and I did the tour. When I came off that tour, a new show in Las Vegas was supposed to take place. I started rehearsing early, but it was hard because I'd been doing Vegas for 4 years and I needed a break in between. But no, I was told this is the timeline and this is how it's gonna go. I was basically directing most of the show. I taught my dancers my new choreography myself. I wasn't good. I was great.
In a video, Brittany and her backup dancers practice a routine on a stage.
They said, if I don't want to do the new Vegas show, I don't have to. It was like lifting literally 200 pounds off of me. He immediately, the next day, put me on lithium out of nowhere. He took me off my normal meds I'd been on for 5 years. And lithium is a very, very strong and completely different medication compared to what I was used to. Not only did my family not do a goddamn thing, my dad was all for it. He loved every minute of it. The control he had over someone as powerful as me, 100,000%, he loved it. And that's why I'm telling you this again 2 years later. After I've lied and told the whole world I'm okay and I'm happy, it's a lie. I thought I said that enough. Maybe I might become happy because I've been in denial. I've been in shock. I am traumatized. But now I'm telling you the truth, okay? I'm not happy. I can't sleep. I'm so angry, it's insane, and I'm depressed. I cry every day, and the reason I'm telling you this is because I don't think how the state of California can have all this written in the court documents from the time I showed up and do absolutely nothing. Ma'am, my dad and anyone involved in this conservatorship should be in jail. The last time I spoke to you made me feel like I was dead, like I didn't matter. And I'm telling you this again so maybe you can understand the depth and the degree and the damage that they did to me back then. It's embarrassing and demoralizing what I've been through, and that's the main reason. I've never said it openly. And mainly I didn't want to say it openly because I honestly don't think anyone would believe me. I just want my life back, and it's been 13 years and it's enough. It makes no sense whatsoever for the state of California to sit back and literally watch me make a living for so many people and be told I'm not good enough. But I'm great at what I do.
A video montage shows some of Britney's music videos and stage performances with her iconic costumes and dance routines. At a concert, she stands on a stage, a microphone protruding out from under her hair, and smiles.
I feel ganged up on, and I feel bullied, and I feel left out and alone. And I'm tired of feeling alone. I deserve to have the same rights as anybody does by having a child, a family, any of those things. And that's all I wanted to say to you, and thank you so much for letting me speak to you today.
The words, "That's all I wanted to say," fade away against a black background. On June 30th, 2021, 1 week after the hearing, the judge denied Britney's request to have her father removed from the conservatorship. The filmmakers obtained the recording online. They did not record it. In July, Larry Rudolph resigned as Britney's manager after 25 years, saying he was hired by the conservatorship but not a part of it. In response to Britney's testimony, Rudolph told the filmmakers that he would never force Britney to do a tour she did not want to do, that she was in favor of the 2018 European tour. On July 6, Sam Ingham resigned, as Britney's court-appointed counsel, Ingham made nearly $3 million over the course of the conservatorship. In 2020, Sam Ingham had begun taking steps toward Britney's requested removal of Jamie Spears as conservator and other changes in the conservatorship. He maintains that Britney never asked him to terminate the conservatorship. He has not responded to the filmmaker's requests for comments. On July 14th, Matthew Rosengart became Britney's new attorney, immediately filing for the removal of Jamie Spears as conservator. Jamie Spears and his legal team assert that Mr. Spears has dutifully and faithfully served as the conservator of his daughter's estate after 13 years of admirable service.
According to a pleading in the case, over the past year, Jamie's legal team requested $1,356,293 in legal fees, including $541,065 for media matters from Britney. In response, Rosengart stated, "Mr. Spears and his counsel are now on notice. The status quo is no longer tolerable, and Britney Spears will not be extorted." On September 7th, Jamie Spears formally asked to be removed from his role as conservator and recommended the conservatorship be terminated. The court will decide if Britney's conservatorship should be ended. Rosengart told the filmmakers, "Jamie's abuses revealed in this film corroborates what Britney and I have said in court. Jamie Spears is toxic to the well-being of Britney, and she deserves to be free." Credits appear. Directed and produced by Aaron Lee Carr. Produced by Sarah Gibson, Kate Berry. Executive producers Dan Kogan, Liz Garbus, John Barden, Julie Gaither. Executive producers Jenny Eliscu, Amy Hurdy. Edited by Jason Sager, Tim K. Smith. Music by Leopold Ross, Iona Gika. Motion graphics and visual effects by Design Syndicate. Lead creative Matthew Brunson Klein. Directors of photography Shane Sigler, Megan Stacy. Credit scroll. David Carr. Copyright Netflix Worldwide Entertainment LLC. All rights reserved. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This production has been described by Post Haste Digital, voice by Tansy Alexander. Logos appear. Carlot Productions. Story Syndicate.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.